Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, July 22nd, and it's 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Czarnecki. With us today, we have a former Wrangell basketball player, Jean-Luc Lewis. He left Wrangell to go to college 6 years ago and is visiting his hometown for just the week. He's now in med school at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, and he's going to share with us his experiences so far. You can call in to ask a question or leave a comment. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, Jean-Luc. How are you?
I'm doing well, Colette.
Great.
How are you doing?
I am doing good. Thank you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is my first time doing anything like this, so apologize if it's a little awkward at first, but once I get settled, I'm sure we'll be able to dive into some good conversation.
Totally, and you sound fine.
Okay.
So, how has medical school been so far?
It's been really good, especially these last few months. So the first, how med school works is the first 2 years, you're primarily doing a lot of textbook learning through testing and stuff. So a lot of time just alone with a textbook and your laptop, learning about all these different conditions and the body and anatomy and all the things that you need to be to learn about to be a competent physician. And so those look more like undergraduate years, and that's kind of what it felt like, just a lot of biology classes. But once you get through that, you have to take a test, which is called step one. So your first 2 years, you're preparing for that test. And then once you take that test, then the United States Medical Committee thinks you are now eligible to start going into the hospital and engaging in patient care. So that's currently where I'm at. And how third year is structured is you have a bunch of different rotations. You have surgery, pediatrics, internal medicine, family medicine, and obstetric and gynecology, along with a few electives scattered in between. And so I've finished surgery, which was a 4-week elective, and then I had a pathology elective, which was 4 weeks, and now I'm on my halfway through my internal medicine clerkship.
Cool. So you're in your third year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you feel that, you know, you said that you spend about 4 weeks with each rotation. Do you feel like that's enough time to really get to know everything?
For me personally, I think it is a sufficient amount of time, but I know other students in my cohort were a little upset. It is a little unusual that a lot of these are 4 weeks. Usually they'd be closer to 6 to 8 weeks, but our school is currently restructuring their curriculum, so our class got stuck with a shortened, everything being a little more condensed.
Yeah. How many students are with you in your cohort?
We started with 144, and I'd say there's probably around the same right now.
Okay, awesome. So why did you decide to study medicine?
Yeah, I'd say growing up, I always kind of had, like, you could either be a businessman or a lawyer or, like, a salesman or a doctor were kind of the major career paths that I always had in my mind, just from culturally. Those are the things that you see on television and through social media. And so for me, I didn't really like the idea of being a businessman. I never was really too savvy with that. And I didn't want to be a politician, so I figured med school would be the next best option. And luckily enough, Wrangell had the volunteer fire department. And when I was in high school, at least, they held EMT or ETT courses. So I was able to take one of those early on when I was 15 and start going on calls at that age. And so the stars kind of aligned in that situation where I was able to just have a lot of medical experience throughout high school and then write my application around that and then apply into an 8-year program that offered undergraduate admission as well as their admission into their med school, which was super lucky.
Yeah. And what was that like when you were 15 years old doing EMT routes?
Yeah, the first few times were certainly very intriguing, and I was eager to go on as many as I could because it was, you kind of felt like an adult being able to go to this house when it's dark out and have flashing lights, and there's definitely this sense of, you know, urgency, but also like care, and it was just it was a feeling of responsibility and felt good to do something for the community. Yeah. And it's, I've always liked health a lot, so it seems to have fit into my interests very well.
Yeah. And so I read that your goal online is to focus on family medicine. What intrigues you about family medicine?
I really like the broad scope of the field. For instance, you can work in an emergency department if you're in a rural area. That's what you're qualified to do in your training. You're also qualified to work in the hospital as a hospitalist, and you can also work in the outpatient as like just a primary care provider. So I really liked having those, being able to, and then throughout your career, you can easily transition through those different avenues. So for me, that's always been the clear choice. Just being able to, I've always liked to have my options open and be able to not be too stuck in one place. So having that flexibility to change my career and also get exposure to especially emergency medicine as well as the clinic, I really am more interested in, just so I can be a well-rounded physician and be able to, you know, have the skills to save someone's life if that is ever a situation I encounter. And not all fields, for sure, is that the situation. If you were to go into surgery, you'd be really good at making incisions and tying cool knots. But if someone passed out on a plane, you wouldn't have the skills of an emergency physician or a family medicine physician, for that matter, to resuscitate the person.
Oh, my goodness. I never thought about that before.
Yeah.
Wow. Where did you get your undergrad degree?
I got my undergrad degree at Brown as well.
Okay.
So, unlike a lot of schools, Brown has a medical program where it's a 4-4. So they accept about 60 people every year out of about 2,500 applicants. So very small cohort. And if you're accepted, then that means that as long as you pass your classes in undergrad, then you'll be given, you have guaranteed admission into their med school.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And okay, so you started your undergrad at Brown, and you're still, of course, at Brown. Did you, when you were a freshman, you instantly were in that program then? Okay.
I applied to that program in January with the intention of only going to Brown if I got into the program. And then I got into the program, and so I decided I was going to Brown.
Awesome. And did you apply to other schools too?
I did. I applied to like 10 other schools. No other schools had this program that I really wanted though. And I was lucky enough to get into pretty much all the other schools I applied to. But a program like this is really hard to beat. And pretty much every doctor would agree with that any, because what's really nice about this program is I didn't have to take the MCAT, which almost all medical students in the country have to do. I also didn't have to keep a ridiculously high GPA or have a bunch of extracurricular activities in undergrad to boost my application because I was already in. So I could kind of coast through my undergrad while still having this position. And so that really provided a lot of, it made college a lot less stressful.
Yeah, amazing. So, okay, before you got into Brown, what did it entail for you to get where you are in the program? What did you have to do?
Yeah.
And
So I had a few things work in my favor. One are my excellent parents, who are both college educated, so they already had some insight into the whole college application process, which is a complex and should be a thought out process if you are considering being a competitive applicant. So that was one benefit. Coming from Rango is a huge added benefit because there's not many people from Alaska who is going to college in the lower 48. And another benefit was I had a sister who had applied to college before me. So I had an older sister. So having all those things in mind, I was able to be prepared and stay ahead and kind of understand what I needed to have as an applicant to get into these schools. There's certain things like you want to have good extracurriculars, and you want to have good test scores, and then you want to have good grades. And it's kind of about boosting all of those three things in your application. And if you can have good, if those three areas are very strong, then you're a good applicant. And so, and I had a good understanding of that, I'd say, pretty early on in high school. And so I'd say since freshman year, my goal was to get into a top school. And so I focused on those three areas. I made sure I had the best GPA I could. And then I also made sure my extracurriculars were good. So I did a lot of volunteering with the fire department and just got involved as much as I could. Just doing like even basketball and being on the student council, things like that. And then for the test scores, took a lot of practice tests because I did feel like that was the area I was weakest on. So online you can find all sorts of PDFs. And so I took a lot of practice exams and then eventually got to a score that I thought would make me competitive enough.
Awesome. Wow. And how long did it take? Like, how much time did it take for you to take those practice tests to get to where you...
Yeah, it took a while, honestly. Probably about 40 hours in total, maybe a little more. Because I'd take them and then review them and make notes. And then each test was about 4 hours and took about six. And I took about six, so with reviews... Yeah, maybe 40, 30 hours. But yeah, Back then, that seemed like a lot of time.
I mean, it is, because else, you know, and when you're in other areas of your life, you still have other things going on, too. Right.
And no one in high school really wants to spend too much extra time outside of school, but I knew it would pay off.
Yeah, definitely. So what are some fascinating things you learned so far in med school?
It's a good question. I'll have to think on that for a second.
Definitely. I'm going to just give us a break real quick. So we'll listen to a song and then we'll see. We'll see what Jean-Luc says.
Is that all you get for your money? And it seems such a waste of time. If that's what it's all about, mama, if that's enough, then I'm moving out. Mind. Yeah, that's what you- you're all about. Good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Okay, we are back. So, Jean-Luc, have you thought about what are some of the most fascinating things you learned about thus far?
Yeah, I can just talk about some of my favorite courses. So all U.S. medical students undergo something which is like the cadaver lab, where you have a group of students and you dissect someone who was willing to donate their body for the science. So I'd say that was very interesting, my first year getting to be part of that and kind of dissect someone from the skin all the way down to their bones.
Oh my God. That is definitely fascinating. How long was this course for?
It was about a semester and a half course.
Okay.
And you'd come in with some instructions and a lab manual where you were supposed to, you had some structures that you'd want to identify, and so you'd have to uncover those structures using scalpels and retractors to cut away the skin and take off all the fascia, and then you'd get down to the muscle, and then you'd have to identify different muscles, and then from there identify different nerves that innervate those muscles. And some of the coolest ones were in the face. I remember my partner and I were able to really get the jaw muscles isolated super well, and we're able to see all the blood flow coming up through the neck, and able to also see the nerves coming from below the neck and then also coming through the skull and innervating like the masseter and temporalis. So some good, really good memories there, being able to just really see the mechanics of a human jaw. And that's just one instance of our dissections. And we took those pretty seriously. We always joked at the beginning that we wanted to have the best cadaver. And I don't know if we necessarily did, but ours was definitely featured in the tests a lot. So to identify structures in tests.
Oh my God.
And so that's a highlight.
Wow. I don't know if you know, you might know this question or the answer to this question, but do you know how, and it might sound a little gruesome, but like, do you know how the length of time from like death to you working on them, it had to be?
I'm not 100% sure, but my memory serves me correct, it takes about 9 months to a year for these people to go from death and then to be soaked in a solution containing formaldehyde and other preservatives. And I think they stay there, for about 9 months. And then after that, the mortician will take them out, and then they're very sterile and just, kind of waterlogged, but very dried out.
So you work
easy to work with.
Okay. So you guys worked with, body cadavers that had, we're already like
formaldehyde. Yeah, had been treated. And the smell that was the only bad thing about the anatomy lab was the smell, but they always had a lot of vents going. But after a while, it would get smelly just because all the fumes.
Yeah, did it stick with you for a while?
It did.
Yeah.
But it wasn't too bad. But once anatomy lab, the last anatomy lab, everyone was excited to be done with that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so, and you're in your clinics. How stressful is med school? And what kind of support have you received, like, for that, to take care of your mental health?
Right. I'd say weeks fluctuate depending on what you're studying and what elective or rotation you're doing. Overall, I'd say the first few weeks before you have a test aren't too stressful. You want to be keeping up on your studies by doing practice questions or reading in a textbook. But you don't need to do too much. But in the week of the test is definitely more stressful when you're pretty much spending all waking hours studying for a test. And at this point, I'd say I'm pretty aware of what it takes to pass these tests. So I'd say my stress levels have gone down, but initially coming in, there are a lot of unknowns because you have to take these tests that are pretty hard and you don't really know how to study for them and you don't know how you're going to do. And so there's always that uncertainty before each test where it's like, am I really prepared? So, but I would say that's the more stressful part is just the test. But other than that, it's very enjoyable.
Awesome. And so do you have 5 years left? Is that?
To be a certified, a physician, which they call an attending. So that's a trained physician who's gone through their residency. That's going to be, yes, correct, in 5 years. But I will graduate in about a year now, 2 years. Or because I just started third year, so then year and a half.
Okay, and then it's the residency.
And then residency.
Okay.
Depending on what you do. It can be from 3 years all the way to 7 years.
Do you get to pick where you want to be for residency? Or do they place you? Or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a pretty unknown process in the fact that it's a match where you get to rank your schools that you want and then they rank you and then they put it into some sort of system and then that spits out where you're going to go. So I think if you're a good applicant, and the program you want to go to likes you and you, then generally you can go to where you want, but there are certainly people who apply to all these different programs and end up matching 11th on their list and have no and end up going to Cleveland, Ohio or something.
Midwest. I'm from the Midwest.
Oh, shoot. I shouldn't have said that.
No, Ohio is a neighbor. But, okay, so where are you hoping to do your residency then?
I'm thinking of, ideally, I'd go to Anchorage. They have a family medicine residency program up there, the only one in the state, and I've heard a lot of good things about it. They call it a frontier program, family medicine program, so it incorporates a lot of rural practice along with your regular like clinic and hospital duties. And since I do want to keep my options open, I'd love to have that rural training so I could work all over the state and, you know, maybe all over the world even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure you heard about Doctors Without Borders. Yeah. Is that an interest?
Certainly. Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Definitely. At least overseas or go to Europe. I know one of the doctors here was able to work overseas as well.
Wow.
And I know, especially if you're a primary care doctor, transferring your credits and getting certified in other countries is pretty doable.
Yeah. So, yeah, the world is open to you in past residency, yeah?
Yes, and that's why I liked family medicine, because it's not as accessible with all specialties.
Definitely. And, okay, so we're going to go on, venture to, Wrangell now, and, you know, you're from here. How does Wrangell and Providence compare, and what do you like about both?
They'd actually have more, as I've spent more time in Providence, I've realized that there's more similarities. There's a joke in Rhode Island that if you're from Rhode Island, you never leave Rhode Island. And I'd say Wrangell, you could say the same thing about Wrangell in the fact that a lot of people who grow up here end up staying here. So I think there's that community aspect where there's a lot of pride. Rhode Islanders are proud to be from Rhode Island and Wrangellites are proud to be from Wrangell. So I'd say there's that. Rhode Island's also a small state, and so there is that sense of community that you have. For instance, you just run into people all the time in Rhode Island. there's only a million people there.
Only a million?
Yeah. It seems a lot less than that, though, because it's a very small state. Another similarity is they're both on the coast, so you get that nice ocean breeze. And for me, to get to the beach, it's like a 15-mile bike ride or a 20-minute drive. And to get to the beach here, you know, it's maybe a 10-minute like bike or drive.
Yeah.
So being close to the water is also something they both have in common. I'd say Providence is a pretty quirky city from what I've seen. A lot of people, just an inclusive city that has a lot of diversity and is proud to be diverse.
Yeah.
Which, a lot more cars in Providence, and there's some big highways that go through there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So I miss being able to walk everywhere like I can in Wrangell, and I miss seeing trees. And Rhode Island's also very flat, so no mountains. So every time I'm home, it's a breath of fresh air.
Literally.
Quite literally.
Yeah. How is it visiting right now?
It's great. It's great. It really feels like such a paradise here, and it's very slow paced and calm, and allows you to settle down a little because you're not always surrounded by a bunch of cars and honking and police sirens. Because I live next to a highway, and Providence is actually one of the noisier cities apparently. So, really, getting out to this small island's great for de-stressing in that sense.
Yeah, definitely. So you feel the decompression.
Definitely,
here.
It's very noticeable difference.
Okay, awesome. I hope the week is enough time for you to...
I'll make it work.
Great. So, okay, obviously you're a med student. You're also a human being, of course. What other interests do you have?
I like health. I like fitness. I like my hanging out with my family, my girlfriend. I like lounging around, but I do like moving too, and I like yoga. I'd say those are the main things. I do like the feeling of wind on my face, though, so I like biking or running. I'd say those are some of the more important activities I like to partake in.
Yeah, and is it road biking or mountain biking? What do you...
Yeah, just road biking in Providence.
It's flat is perfect.
It is perfect.
Yes. Awesome. Well, is there anything else you would like to say about, you know, your life or anything else?
Just that I hope to, you know, maybe eventually come back here and work with the community. And I've always really loved Wrangell. I think it's a gem, and I hope no one ever finds out about it because it becomes so popular. And I just think this is one of the best little towns, and I'm always glad to be here. And I like getting outside and meeting new people. I'd say that's probably another favorite thing. And why I also really like medicine is it's always an opportunity to strike up a conversation and meet someone new, which I'd say is probably one of the more valuable things you could do in life. And one of the more fun things you could do is just sit down and have conversations.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us and having everyone listen to, you know, you. That was Jean-Luc Lewis, who left Wrangell 6 years ago to go to med school.